want to talk for a minute about a weighty exchange. And I need your imagination for a minute. I want you to imagine that all the doors and windows in this place are going to be sealed in a minute, and water is going to start pouring in. And at first it'll just be up to our ankles and then up to our knees. And then after a little while, we'll all be wrestling for places to stand on stacks of chairs or tables, and eventually it gets up that's close to the ceiling. And when I was a student in middle school, we had to stay out in the middle of the pool for an extended period of time. For me, it felt like it was forever, and I felt like I was going to sink. But as you continue imagining, I have a backpack in our house, and I managed to find some weight. So what I'm going to have to do is take this backpack, and now, while you were all up there floating, I'm going to be probably pretty close to the bottom of the pool, right? Just imagine having a weight like this when the goal is to swim, right? And then somebody says, I've got a deal. Here's the deal. You can drop off this weighted backpack for life preservers, right? I could exchange this thing that's pulling me down to the bottom. There's not a chance in the world I can swim with this on my back. And somebody says, here's a chance to swap it out for something that will actually make you float, right? So hold on to that, because I want to think about exchanges tonight. I want to think about, let me get this back on, this weighted backpack in a room that's filling with water, and then somebody says, here's an exchange you can have for a life preserver. I want to think about three exchanges tonight, just briefly. One that kills, and two that work together to give life. And I'm going to have the text on the screen. I want you to know where I'm going. I'm going to read a little bit from Romans 1, the famous verse, John 3:16, and then a statement from the early church, from the apostles speaking to people from Acts 14. So glad to have that in front of you too, but I'll also have it on the screen. So let's start with this first one, Romans 1. Here's what it says. Oh, and let me say, I changed one thing in here. I changed it from talking about other people to making it talk about us. So the text itself says, for although they, but I just changed it to say we. So although we knew God, we neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But our thinking became futile and our foolish hearts were darkened. Although we claimed to be wise, we became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images that look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. He says we became fools and exchanged. And this is the first exchange I want to look at and say, when people's thinking became foolish, they exchanged the glory of God, of the God who lives forever, for mere images. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, probably was thinking mostly about physical objects, idols, things that were made to look like objects like a person or animals or things in the world. And that's not part of my culture, but to this day, in many cultures in the world and many that we have experience with, that's still a very active thing to have an object. And we offer things to it. But this is very real to all of us in a metaphor. Whether or not you have a physical object, there are ways in which we say, well, the glory of the immortal God, well, that's kind of far away and I don't know about it, but here's a person who's giving me approval. And boy, I want that. And so we spend our time there. And I think this exchange that he talks about is a way that I think about sin. And this term sin that to me stands out as saying it's giving up God. It's saying, God is a part of my world, but you know, I discover he's kind of far away and he's not doing what I need, and so we let go of God. We turn down God. We say, we could know God more, or we could pursue other things. And we pursue other things, right? And maybe you know the experience. I could sit here and pray to God, or I could get some real work done, right? I could sit here and pray to God, or my phone has a new alert on it, and I need to find out what it is, right? There are all these things that we end up saying, yes, we could pursue God, but we say, I'm not sure it really is going to make that much difference. People say, I could help you know God more, and the response is, well, if I have the time, you know, we'll see. I'm not so sure. Sin doesn't have to be anything immoral, saying, here's a terrible thing you might do. Sin is just saying, I would prefer something else to God right now. And this is what he says the world has done. We have done. That we give up God. We turn God down. We just say, no, not right now. We let go of God. And he says, we choose other things. And so in verse 24, he continues, therefore God gave us over to the sinful desires of our hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of our bodies with one another. We exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So again, he says, there's an exchange. And we exchanged truth, what was good, what was right, what was real, and we chose instead a lie. We exchanged worshiping God for worshiping and serving created things that are going to die and that take life from us. Right? How much time I have spent pursuing things that just tear me apart. I try to please people and I discover I never win. I try to please myself and I discover I never win at this game. I never do. It always takes more than it gives. And he says, we've exchanged the love of God, the truth of God, for things that kill us. Again, sin is giving up God. It's turning down God. It's letting God go. And we've all done it. So we're looking at these three exchanges. The first one, which we call sin, is we let go of God to get death. Right? We let go of the source of life and choose to grab onto something that kills us. So it is like being dropped into the middle of Lake Michigan, maybe the ocean, and being told, you have two options. There's this backpack you could put on, or this life jacket you could put on. And, you know, it never looks quite like that. Nothing on sin says, here, this will kill you. Take me, right? It says, no, this will make you so happy. This will satisfy you. And the other one doesn't look very exciting. And we think, well, and it's so foolish. And yet this is what every last one of us does, is we choose other things than God and think they'll help us. They'll give us what we need. We let go of God, and what we get is the thing that will drag us to the bottom. Even if we've been completely moral, right? Even our sense that we're really good people will drag us to the bottom. That itself is a weight on us. We let go of God and we get death. And it's a physical death that we know is coming, and it's a spiritual death that we're experiencing it, but fully we will experience it one day. Sin is letting go of God, and the alternative we get is death. So then the second exchange is God's grace. John 3:16, famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the second exchange is one done by God. God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, God gave his Son to give life to the ones who let go of his Son. Sin is when we let go of God to get death. God's grace is when he let go of his Son. His Son let go of his life in order to give us life. God's exchange is entirely a gift. And it's, in one sense, a foolish exchange for God. He doesn't get anything for this exchange. And yet, he does it out of love. And so then the third exchange is the exchange of Christian faith. Acts 14:15. This is the early church in their understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. They say this, we are bringing you good news. Turn away from these worthless things. Turn to the living God. He is the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea. He made everything in them. They say, here's the good news. The good news is that we can turn away from these worthless things. Not only worthless, they're the weights that will drag us down to our death. Turn away from those things and turn to the living God. Turn to the one who has given this gift. Right? So this is the third exchange that says to receive what God has given. So the first exchange, we in our sin let go of God and hold on to things that will kill us, things that will drag us down. But God in his grace has his son let go of his life to give us life. And so then Christian faith is this, is to let go of death to get life in the Son of God. To say, I will turn from these other things. This is the religious language of repentance. It's to say, I'm going to drop that backpack that's dragging me to the bottom. I'm going to let it go. And I'm just going to hold on to the life preserver that is what Jesus has done for us. And so this is Good Friday. Good Friday is the center statement there. The Son of God let go of his life to give us life. This is what people have been reading, what we've been singing. God had his Son die, give away his life to give us life. This is what makes Good Friday good. Good Friday is terrible because it's caused by us letting go of God. And yet it's wonderful because it's the Son of God letting go of his life, giving up his life in order to give us life. And so then the good news of Christianity is that we're invited to let go of death to get life in the Son of God. Today we celebrate what Jesus has done. We celebrate that he took what was due to us, that he took the death that was ours in order to give us the life that is ours. And it's the invitation for us to say, I'm tired of swimming. And I know I'm gonna sink, right? And you know, it is kind of like a room slowly filling that for many people in the enthusiasm of youth, they say, oh, I can do this and life is good and we can make it and the water's up to their knees and oh, this is pretty good and gets up to their waist and we're still doing okay and pretty soon we're treading water. And at some point, we all come to the point where we say, I'm not making it. I can't keep this up. And the sooner we discover that and say, God, I just need help, the better. And this is the invitation. This is what we get today. Now, if you've already done that, maybe you're like me. I keep going back to that old weighted backpack. And I keep going back. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, said, why do you keep going back to that weighted backpack and trying to swim with that horrible weight on you? Let go of that and cling to Jesus Christ and what he has done. And so that's the invitation for us to put our hope there, to let go of all that drags us down. And that's everything but God. And to cling to Jesus. And so the good news is, as they preached in the early church, this is the good news. Turn away from these worthless things. Turn to the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the great hope that we have. It's the invitation for us once and always.